Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We are made adequate by the words that God gives us. We are made adequate by the power of the Holy Spirit that is placed inside of us. And there is nothing worse than trying to do something for God in the power of your flesh. You can't do it. In fact, the Bible says that the things of the flesh cannot bring about the things of God.
When we succeed in ministry or service to God, it can be so easy for us to pat ourselves on the back and think, it was all me. When in reality, our own ability had nothing to do with it. Pride is deceiving, strong enough to make even the most dedicated of servants take their eyes off God. With the continuation of our study titled, Available for God's Service, out of 2 Samuel 18, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Verse 22, And Ahimaaz the son of Zodak said again to Joab, But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite. So Joab said to him, Why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready? Oh, are you just going to go through the motions? See, sometimes we can not have God's word in our mouths, and we are going through the motion because we make ourselves feel better going through the motion, or we find ourselves competing against other believers. And that's Ahimaaz. He hasn't been given a word. But he's just, can I go? Can I run? Why? Why are you going to run? You haven't been given anything. Verse 23, but whatever happens, he said, let me run. So he said to him, run. And then Ahimaaz ran. So I picture in my mind, here's Ahimaaz, no matter what happens, please let me run. And Joab says, well, run. And the guy's gone. And he's running. And that's what he does. This is what Ahimaaz does. He's good at it. And he runs and he has the message. And from the moment he took off from Joab, he's thinking, I'm going to whoop that Cushite. I'll guarantee it. He's thinking, I'll take this shortcut. I'll take that shortcut. But see, the thing is, I don't know that the Cushite knew it was a race. Cushites out there running, got the news for the king. Here's Ahimaaz. I'm going to get him, got to get him. And he's running after the Cushite. One is just doing his job, and the other one has in his sights the Cushite to be able to defeat him. With that, I'm reminded of Paul. I believe it's in the book of Philippians that Paul talks about those who are preaching the gospel for their own selfish gain. They see Paul, and they see Paul's success, and they don't understand Paul's success. Now, Paul was an absolutely brilliant man. Paul, it was said from one of his teachers that the only complaint he had about Paul was that he didn't have enough books to keep Paul in. Paul was an absolutely brilliant man who climbed the ladder in Judaism at an incredibly young age and became part of the Sanhedrin, which was a job that old men had, but Saul had it at a very young age. And then he was touched by God, and God began to use him as one of the apostles. And there were men that would look at Paul, and they were jealous. And they would go out of jealousy, and they would preach the gospel. And Paul said, and as I said, I think it's there in Philippians, Paul said, there are some that teach the gospel out of jealousy. Nevertheless, I am glad that the gospel is being preached. That these guys were out there running and doing what they're doing out of jealousy. May it never be out of jealousy that we run our race. May we never place our eyes on somebody else. I'm better than them. I can do a better job than what they're doing. Maybe you can, but that's not what it's about. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit falling upon somebody and using them. Perhaps even if they are not equipped to do it, that God equips them and uses them. And so he runs. And now verse 24, now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate, to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, If he is alone, there is news in his mouth. And he came rapidly, and he drew near. So Ahimaaz, at this point, he's still running good. He's probably running along, and he's got to be thinking in his mind. If you're competitive. Now, I'm not competitive at all. See, while you hear a few chuckles, because people who know me know I'm pretty competitive. Now, I have a couple friends of mine that are more competitive than I am. That's hard to believe. but it is really true that I have a couple friends that are more competitive than me. And if you're a competitive individual like I am, I'll guarantee he was looking for the Cushite. And he's probably thinking in his mind, I wonder if he's already there. See, they took different paths. And he's thinking, I wonder if he's already there. He's already by the king. And he comes running, and he's running rapidly. And then it says, verse 26, then the watchman saw another man running. So he looks out, and he also sees the Cushite. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, there's another man running alone. And the king said, he also brings news. Master of the obvious. Verse 27. So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The king said, he is a good man. He comes with good news. Now you got to understand David's condition here. David has been run out of Jerusalem. His son is out there. He doesn't want his son killed, probably more than he doesn't want to lose the battle. And so he wants news, and he's kind of like trying to get in that positive mode. Oh, this is Zadok's son. This is the priest's son. He's a good man. He brings good news. Verse 28, so Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, all is well. Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God who has delivered up the man who raised their hand against my lord, the king. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was all about. Well, he's inadequate for that which he has been called to do. See, we are made adequate by the words that God gives us. We are made adequate by the power of the Holy Spirit that is placed inside of us. And there is nothing worse than trying to do something for God in the power of your flesh. You can't do it. In fact, the Bible says that the things of the flesh cannot bring about the things of God. And so you're trying to run. And I'll tell you what, if you are an individual and you are trying to do the things of God by the power of your flesh, you've kind of forced your way into something and you're running and you're doing it and you're going to see it that it gets done. I know something about you. I know that you're pretty frustrated because there is nothing that is more frustrating than trying to do the work of God in your flesh. Sharing. Every so often you'll share a message that you really feel that the Holy Spirit has just used you with. And of course, feelings are physical, right? Feelings aren't spiritual. People always confuse that. They're always trying to make, you know, feelings into the spiritual realm. And every once in a while, there'll be this message and you have a really good feeling about it. And you feel like the power of God was really upon you. And you think, oh man, if it's like that every week, oh, glory to God. This is awesome. But every once in a while, you get up and you try. And I love what Chuck Smith said at one point. He said, preaching is like digging for oil, boring for oil. If you go for 20 minutes and you don't hit oil, it's time to stop boring one way or another. Stop boring and boring, boring. And anyway, still flying around up there. Somebody will get it at some particular point in time. Maybe I'll deliver it better at the next service as well. But, you give the message and you just feel like, man, that was work. And I remember, especially in the beginning days, I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, if it's like that every week, I don't know that I want to do this. If I had to do what I do under the ability of my own flesh and not by the power of God, I wouldn't want to do this. I'd rather, sell insurance. I'd rather do something else. If it wouldn't buy the power of God, that wasn't anything against insurance salesmen, by the way. I'm likely to get myself in trouble. And I think the same thing is true on any level that we do something for God. If it is by the power of God that we do what we do when we show up and we've got the words and we're used by God, oh, it's awesome. But if we are just kind of forcing things and we are in our flesh and God hasn't given us the words and God isn't directing us, if we find ourselves praying, Lord, would you please be a part of what we're doing? I think that's always a dangerous prayer. God, we invite you here today to what we are doing. I don't like to pray that way. I like to be able to say, Lord, you've called us to do this. We're following you. You're the one that sent us. You're the one that's gone out before us. so that we don't get there and say, I'm inadequate. I don't have what it takes to be able to meet that need. And I believe there are many people in ministry that are frustrated. They don't have what it takes to meet the need because they haven't been given the word. And so, verse 30, the king said, turn aside, stand here. So he turned aside and he stood still. So now he's just standing aside and here comes the Cushite, probably thinking in his mind, I whooped you. Just then the Cushite came and the Cushite said, there's good news, my lord, the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day for all those who rose against you. And the king said to the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? So the Cushite answered, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who run against you to do harm be like that young man. And as I said last week, that was a polite way of saying Absalom is dead. He had the words to be able to complete what God had given him to do. I have in closing five ingredients for usability by God. Five things that I believe allow us to be usable by Him. Let's kind of quickly cover these five things. Number one, you have to make yourself available to God. You've got to say, like Ahimaaz did in the beginning, I'm here. Let me run. There's nothing wrong with that. God will say, well, not today. Maybe He'll say not today, but you will run another day. You have to make yourself available. It's like the years ago, driving down the road in Albuquerque, I saw a billboard that said available now, meaning it was available now for space. And God just quietly spoke to my heart. Available now. That's what I want you to have on you. Available now. I don't know. I didn't have any plans for what God wanted to put in my life. But I kept saying to the Lord, I'm available now. I don't know what you've got for me. I don't know where you want me to go, but I'm available for you. Will you be available for God tomorrow? Would you say, Lord, I don't know what. I don't know what you might bring my way, but if you want to do anything, if you want to touch anybody's life, you want to work in a certain way, I'm available to you. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice, and I make myself available. And I believe that if you will have that attitude in your life on a daily basis, I believe that God will use you. I believe that that availability will allow God to be able to use you in your life. The second thing that I believe is necessary for usability in God's hands is purity. Now, when I say purity, I don't necessarily mean that you've gone a certain amount of time without sin. What I mean is this: things are right between you and God, that you've taken care of everything. And if there is sin somewhere, that you've confessed it and you've dealt with it, and now you want to live for God. That's the kind of purity that it takes. I'm not saying that you have to have a track record for a certain amount of time, because I think I'd be going against the Bible if that were the case. But see, when you make yourself available to God and you say, Lord, I'm here, and if there's anything in my life that's wrong, correct it. And Lord, I want to be sanctified by you, and I want your direction, I want your cleansing, I want your correction in my life. Then you make yourself available to Him. But if you're an individual who says, oh, I want to be used by you, God, but I have this sin in my life, and I'm going to keep it there. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm not going to let it go. I don't think then that you will be an individual who is usable in the hands of God. I have several scriptures here that I don't have time to cover along those lines. It is necessary for us to say, I want things right between us and our God. And when they are right between us and God, we are then available, usable for the hands of God. The third thing that I have here, the third ingredient for a usable life before God, is humility. I said earlier in this message that humility is one of the main. If there's anything that can stop you from being used by God, it's pride. About the time you look at someone and say, why'd God use them? I'm better than them. Just put a fork in yourself because you're done. It's all over at that point. And if there's anything that we battle against, it is pride. Pride is one of those issues that rises again and again within our lives. And at a very early age, God spoke to me at a winter youth conference where the staff evangelist at the church that I was at had given a message on humility. And God spoke clearly to me. You know, there's times in your life when you know that God speaks to you. And He spoke clearly, Robert, if you're humble, I'll use you. But if you stop being humble, I'm going to stop using you. You know, an interesting thing about that statement, because it's one of the only revelations that I've had from God, but it's a very biblical revelation. That which God spoke to me in a very personal moment of my life is true for all of us here. There's not a person here that's not true for. If you're a humble individual, God will use you. But about the time you get prideful, you start looking around and thinking, man, I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. God ought to be using me. I know why God ought to use me, because I am so with it and I'm so together. It's about the time that God says, I don't need you. See, why? Because God's far more spectacular than you are. Doesn't matter how spectacular you are. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how talented you are. Doesn't matter what you can do or how good your memory is or how well you can sing or how well you can play or how well you can preach or how smart you are or how good looking you are. The list could go on. Doesn't matter, because God's always better. And God is the one who's working in the lives of people. So God can take some poor, dumb, ugly guy, can't sing, can't do nothing, and God can use him. And then God gets the glory. And see, it's not that the dumb, ugly guy is more qualified, but see, he's humble, because he's dumb and ugly, so he's humble. And the person that's smart and good-looking, if he just learned to humble himself. And I'm very careful when I pray about humility, because I really want to humble myself, but I really don't want God to humble me. I want to know, God, please direct me, show me, give me wisdom that I can humble myself, because I would rather humble myself than have God humble me. Nevertheless, I want humility in my life because I want to be used by God. And I understand clearly that if there's anything that can stop you from being used by God, it is a lack of humility. Bible says this is required of us to do justly and to walk humbly before our God. The fourth thing that I have here, the fourth ingredient for usability before God, is servanthood. You have to see yourself as a servant. That's where the disciples still didn't understand it. As they were leaving the upper room and going down to the Garden of Gethsemane now, and they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And it's not about that. It's about being a servant and surrendering yourself as a servant. And that the word minister itself, the word deacon itself, means servant. That's what a minister is. He is a servant. Jesus said, if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God. And I love the fact that he didn't rebuke the disciples for their desire to be great. He didn't say, what's wrong with you? How fleshly can you get? He said, you want to be great? He used it. You want to be great? Then learn to be the servant of all. Because he who is the greatest in the kingdom of God is a servant. Do we really realize that? The more we serve, the more we can see our position as serving people. And if God brings you to a place of authority, if God raises you to a place where you're in a position of authority, knowing the more I use that position to serve people, the more I use to pour into their lives and to really be there for them, the greater that I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. And the more I use that position for people to serve me, well, the more God's going to pull away from me. Well, that's just important for us to understand. After Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and I always get a chuckle when I picture Peter sucking his feet just as far under his body as he can and saying to the Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus, at the end of washing their feet, and of course telling Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part in me, talking about that aspect of purity, just staying pure before God. And as he came to the end, he says, do you know what I've done for you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say so well, because I am. He is their Master and Lord. But then he said, but what I have done for you, I want you to go and do likewise. Now, he wasn't telling us that we were supposed to have foot washing ceremonies. And quite frankly, I'm very happy about that. Because if you have ever, I've been in a couple of foot washing ceremonies, and what was really funny about one of them that I was in, one of them was at a camp. And you know, some people hadn't showered in a while, and some people just left. They just realized, my feet stink too much, I'm just not going to pass someone out, I'm going to leave. Knowing that if I take my shoes off in front of them, they'll just, boom, they'll hit the floor. But in the other one, it was in a church, and when it was announced in the service, there's going to be a foot washing ceremony. People actually went to the bathroom and were washing their feet in the sink because it's an embarrassing thing. You know, you got stinky feet, and those of you who have stinky feet, you know you have stinky feet. Not necessarily because you can smell it, because the other people around you tell you about it. That, whoa, man, something is, you know, died in here. Put your shoes back on. And I'm glad Jesus didn't say that. And those feet washing ceremonies, by the way, were really strange things. They really were. Someone's picking up your foot and washing it, and it's kind of like, yeah, let me just go ahead and do that for you. Just stop. You're done. It's all right. I'll shake it off. It's okay. It's a weird kind of a thing in our culture. And in their day, it happened a lot more to them because they had servants that actually washed their feet. But Jesus wasn't saying that. And as I said, I'm glad for that. What Jesus was saying is that we were to be servants to one another. that were to take up that role. They'd come in and they'd sat down and nobody had washed anybody's feet. Nobody took the role of a servant. One of the very first pastor's conferences that I ever went to, this is back in 1986. It's a Arizona pastor's conference. It's up north somewhere. And I get to the conference, and this is one of the first times that I ever got to really meet Pastor Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. I'd listened to many of his tapes. His life had influenced me in great ways. Now I'm able to meet him. I'm actually able to sit down and talk with him. And all of us here, now I'm a very young pastor at this point. I've just begun. And we're all sitting around a table, and we get done eating, and we're all sitting there eating, and we're talking about different things that are going on in our fellowships, and we're kind of, picking Pastor Chuck's brain. And he gets up, and he starts clearing the table. You've never seen a bunch of pastors get up and start to clear a table quicker. And then he went over to wash it, and everybody's going in, Pastor Chuck, let me wash that. And just with a sincere heart, he said, no, why should you wash instead of me? And he washed all of the dishes. And the very next meal, we all jumped up. We were the last person to get, okay, now here we go, and ran over to wash it. But what he taught us was, I think, more valuable than anything that he ever said from the pulpit, which was, look, it's about service. It's about being a servant and understanding that Jesus was willing to be a servant. He said, I didn't come to have people serve me. He said, I came to serve you. And likewise, you go out and do the same, he told us. I believe if we are to be used by God, we must see ourselves as servants before the Lord. It's not about us proving to people how fast we can run. It's about servanthood. The final ingredient that I have is faithfulness. The Bible says if you're faithful in the little things, he'll make you faithful over much. And don't despise the days of small beginnings. Don't look at what you do and think, well, it really isn't that significant. So I've got this ministry and, with the donuts or whatever. It's just not that significant. And God says, oh, no. You do what you do as unto the Lord completely. You make that the absolute best donut ministry that the world has ever seen. Be faithful in what God is giving you to do. And then God will give you more and more from that. But if you're not faithful in the little, if you say, this is beneath me, I can do much more than this. This isn't what I'm about. Then God just simply will not give you more to do. God will stop using you. And I think that if we can get all of these things together, availability, purity, rightness with God, humility, servanthood, and faithfulness in the small things that God gives us, man, who knows where God would take us? Who knows what God would do through us? And you know what? I just would love to see that. I'd love to see God use you in great ways. I'd love to see God use us as a fellowship in awesome ways as we faithfully submit ourselves to him and say, available now. I want to be used by you. Not running just to run, not showing off, not can I beat this guy, but Lord, I want to do the work you've called me to do, and I want your words in my mouth that I can be faithful in what you've called me to do. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you that you put this account in here, and it just seems like, why would that be in the Word of God? And yet as we examine it closer, we suddenly begin to see that there are spiritual principles that are there. And you use it to speak to our hearts, and we're so thankful for that. We pray tonight that you would help us to be usable for you, that we would be living sacrifices, that we would put our lives aside and understand that we are your hands and we are your feet. And pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us and direct us tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, that we would be looking for those opportunities. Lord, that we would be used by you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.